Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
We're back. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We're also part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. I'm Wole, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Jeezy. What's going on, Ray?
It's Valentine's Day. We doing our show, man. We real out here. Listen, the rest of y'all took the night off. Y'all ain't real about this.
Soft.
Right? Y'all not serious about it.
Y'all not serious about the game.
Hey, I told my baby girl tonight, I said, look, she's 16 years old. I said, men came into this world first, okay? So we got to handle our business.
Hey, yo, where did you
that's what happens. Now, we did need a lady. We did, absolutely.
Hey, yo.
And then she ate the fruit, and here we are. But it's okay. Valentine's Day is a cool holiday, my friend. It's a cool holiday for those of you celebrating out there. Shout out to you. Eat some chocolate tonight. I'm not going to do it. Wole's probably not going to do it. But you.
No, I'm not. I'm not eating no chocolates. I ain't doing none of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm chilling. I'm chilling on V-Day, bro. I'm chilling.
You know what I'm saying? Thanks for joining us, though, for sure.
For real, man. If you're spending your time with us right now, you know, you're not doing the Valentine's Day thing, man. We appreciate y'all, for real. Real talk.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because you could be spending your time doing something else. Let's keep it, keep it always 100. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. It's been an eventful sports cycle, right?
I guess so. Football's over, which sucks.
That sucks. It's always like
when you have to prepare for the football season. Basketball is good, but the playoffs is when the NBA really starts to heat up. College basketball starts to heat up in March. So this is kind of a dead period for most. There's no baseball. Hockey. Hey, shout out to the hockey guys out there.
Go ahead. You sound like Will.
You have boxing that is boxing. There's a whole lot of talking, not a lot of fighting. True. MMA is great, but MMA in terms of the DMV demographic, you know, it's not the biggest thing in the world. So here we are. We got to hold it down, baby. HBCU hoops is in full effect, though. I got to give shout out and love to the HBCU schools that are out there representing, man. I hope the right schools will hit the tournament this year and pull off an upset.
Well, should be the right schools, though. Go ahead.
It has to be the right team. We'll see. Anything can happen when March Madness rolls around. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, the right
school. No ulterior motives. No ulterior motives at all.
I ain't saying nothing, bro. You're right to the right school, the right opponent too. I think you gotta add that part in the right opponent.
It don't matter this year. So basketball so wide open. College basketball so wide open.
There's still a difference between the right opponent. I know I'm right, bro. Don't try.
All right, go ahead, bro. Matchup.
Anyway, man, let's get to some of the particulars before we get into some major topics. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, what's up, Steve Fox? You already tuning in on X. Hey, if you check this out on YouTube, please subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Also, hit us up on X, like my man Steve is doing currently. And check us out on IG at Urban Sports Scene. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, big time. And also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. All right, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs overtime victory over the San Francisco 49ers in Super Bowl 58. The score was 25-22. We'll play our, about roughly 8:30, we'll play our interview with award-winning journalist and Seattle Seahawks writer for the Athletic. See what I did right? Athletic. I said it right?
The second time you did.
I know the Athletic, Michael Dugar, and he joined us to talk about the Commanders hiring Ken Norton Jr. as the new linebackers coach. Then finally, we'll wrap the show up at 8:50. We'll talk about the Wizards possibly moving, possibly staying in Washington, D.C. A senator out there hating on the Wizards, so they may have to stay in the D.C. in the district. But first, Super Bowl 58 in Vegas was super lit. You had the game. You had Usher's performance, which is on point. We'll talk about Usher's performance too, Ray. But first, let's talk about the game. The Chiefs defeated the Niners in OT in the thriller. Patrick Mahomes was Super Bowl MVP. Ray, your thoughts on the game?
First, I want to give a shout out to a friend of the show and somebody who has their own platform, Big Doug. Check him out. Of course, the Big Doug the show. Big Doug came on with us. I want to say it was part of All Burgundy Go Everything. Of course, check out our other show on Fox Sports Radio, 13:40 a.m. Steve is he's putting some stuff out there already. Yeah. We're going to get there, Steve.
We'll get there.
But I mentioned Big Doug because remember Big Doug asked a question about the former Commanders coach, Ron Rivera, and his staff. Are they arrogant? And Kyle Shanahan is somebody who we agree on. Well, like we said this last week. He's the best offensive mind in football. We agree. Best offensive mind in football.
Facts.
Yet, he has not been able to put together four quarters in a big game as a head coach or coordinator.
Yep. Facts.
And now he's firing Steve Wilkes, whose defense put up better numbers than the previous defensive coordinator, who's now, of course, the head coach in Houston, D'Amico Ryans. So why are you making this change? Is Kyle Shanahan arrogant is what I'm asking myself and what I'm asking you and what I'm asking the listeners. Because, dude, for you to have this much clout and this much control, you also, again, you're a great offensive mind. You have transformed quarterbacks throughout your career. Your father has pedigree. We already know who you are. But yet you have not been able to win a big win. And more importantly, you have not been able to put together four quarters. And now you're firing your defense coordinator. Are you arrogant to say, you know what, I need to reflect or look in the mirror at my reflection to see what I need to change in myself that says I have not been able to put together four quarters, meaning your teams have been ahead in all these big games, and you have not closed the show. You have not closed the show. So something, my friend, with Kyle Shanahan needs to be altered, and I think it starts within maybe John Lynch, maybe somebody in that front office, but somebody's going to have to get through to him if you want to close the deal because we know in this league the window is short.
So you think he's gone? You think he should be gone?
No, I'm just saying, how do you have leads, including in this game against Patrick Mahomes, and not able to close the deal again? So I'm wondering if Kyle Shanahan, again, needs to change something. Maybe he needs to give more offensive power to somebody else. I don't know. I'm wondering. That's what I'm putting out there to the listeners. And, of course, the biggest X factor is he had the best unit on the field, maybe in the defense, but he didn't have the best player on the field in Mahomes. And that made all the difference in the world.
You know what? I mean, let me talk about the Steve Wilkes thing because that did annoy me. That rubbed me the wrong way. And then I'll get to the game because we do need to talk about the game. I don't think I have an issue that he didn't take responsibility of what he did with his part. Yeah, Steve Wilkes, he obviously was pissed off at a point in that game, I think in the fourth quarter where he called a timeout. So he was pissed off. But at the end, I heard somebody say it, and I totally agree with them because I had the same thought process watching the game. It's like they had their foot on the Chiefs' necks, and it came out in the first half, and he went real pass heavy. And we saw that, you know, even that first half, like the Chiefs had an issue trying to stop McCaffrey. Yeah, he had that fumble, but McCaffrey was still getting loose early. And I felt like he came out that half, and tried to establish Brock Purdy rather than giving the ball to their best player. Their best player has always been and forever will be with that squad will be McCaffrey, hands down. You can sprinkle in some Debo, but McCaffrey's their best player. And he wasn't featured enough to me going into in that third quarter, especially that third quarter where you need to put your foot on Kansas City's neck. You know what you have on the other side. You experienced it roughly 4 years ago in the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes. You experienced it. You have a guy who can control the ball, who's arguably arguably the best running back in football, and you're throwing the ball with a guy with Brock Purdy. No knock on Brock Purdy, but your best player is Christian McCaffrey. That's just like saying, yo, you the Detroit Lions of the year of our generation, right? And you have Barry Sanders, but you want to throw the ball six straight times with Kramer or Scott Mitchell or even Rodney Pete. Like you got Barry Sanders. No, we want Barry to touch the ball. I don't want Brock Purdy throwing it that much. So that was my thing. It was like, and then you're not going to take onus on that, but you're going to be pissed off at Steve Wilks, a guy to me who was shutting down the Kansas City offense for a majority of the game. His squad wasn't the issue. You had an opportunity to you as the offensive juggernaut, the offensive genius, had the opportunity to knock Kansas City out, and you didn't do it.
I'm wondering again, what is wrong with Kyle Shanahan in terms of that fourth quarter? Also, you look at the coaching landscape. Dan Campbell, he got criticized for being too aggressive. Does Kyle Shanahan warrant similar criticism for what you're saying is being pass happy? And again, who am I to question Kyle Shanahan, considering I consider him the best offensive mind in football? But the numbers speak for themselves that in the biggest games, when you've gotten ahead against some of the best teams in the league, for whatever reason, you've been unable to finish. And I feel like it's unfair, kind of what you're saying, that he sort of took out that frustration on Steve Wilks when Steve Wilks didn't lose that game. His defense performed beautifully.
Dude, dudes were everything. Chase Young was everything. What's his name? What's the line? Warner was everywhere. What's his face? Bosa was everywhere. They balled. They played, dog. They played.
Yeah, and Dugenay saying the same thing. He didn't stick with the run game. Yeah. What I'm wondering is this, and this is a real discussion. It has nothing against Brock Purdy, but in every loss, maybe you could say Matt Ryan was a star quarterback when Kyle was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta. But is he ultimately going to get a star in order to overcome these woes that he's had in terms of winning the big game?
It's similar. All right, so I said this before. For him, it's similar to Sean McVay with the Rams. So it's like, and no knock with Jared, because Jared Goff is, to me, is better than Brock Purdy. So it's not, this is not any shade of, but it's to a point where if you keep having this happen to you, right? If this keeps happening to you, I'm not going to stay in Atlanta, because I think, you know, Matt Ryan was a good quarterback. But in this situation, he had Jimmy G, now Brock Purdy, and you've been falling short. You may need to get a guy, like, you know what I mean? A guy. You may make and no knock on Purdy. And I think Purdy's going to go into the season as a starter next year. So I'm not saying they're going away from Brock Purdy for next season. But if it ends like it does, like it did this year, I can see him doing the same thing that Sean McVay did, say, hey, I need to get a Matthew Stafford type of quarterback. Because it's showing that yes, Purdy was a great story. He's a great story. But when everything is taken away, can he win you a football game? When they taking away Christian McCaffrey, can he win you a football game? Can he do it by himself? When the play isn't, when everything's not scripted correctly, can he go out there and be like Cam Newton said, and everybody got mad at him, can he be a game changer? And right now, he's not a game changer. He's a good player, but not a game changer.
Washington fans, those of you watching, Dujanay, I love your comment. I want you to tell us, I guess, a little bit more, expound maybe as to why you don't think so. The name floating around right now is Kirk Cousins. Now, Kirk Cousins hasn't necessarily, you know, for those who are experts at covering this game, hasn't moved the needle in terms of being a game changer himself, right? Even though he made the Vikings, the Vikings were pretty competitive before he got there. I don't know. I don't know if Kirk Cousins is the answer.
They were better. They were better before
him. Kirk Cousins and Matthew Stafford may have similar stories in terms of, if they just want the right team in the right situation, they could put that team over the hump. Matthew Stafford was able to do it. Is Kirk Cousins as good as Matthew Stafford? That's debatable. But Kirk Cousins is better than Brock Purdy in many people's eyes. So I'm wondering if that's the answer. Because if not, where are you going to go? You're definitely not going to go Fields. You're not going to draft a quarterback.
Nah, they're not.
So they're gonna stay. It's like, where do you go? Russell Wilson, maybe. Russell Wilson could possibly be coached up by Kyle. He's won a Super Bowl before. Those are the only, I guess, two names you can think of: Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, as somebody who can come in and maybe say, you know what, this is the guy that can be the closer that can get this team over because the team's already prepared to win now. And Kyle clearly is a great offensive mind. He clearly is. He's been an excellent person in terms of selecting a good staff, Saleh, Ryans, and now Wilks. So he can easily bring in somebody. I hope it's not Rivera. I wonder if he'll get an interview out there.
Nah,
but
don't do that. Don't do that.
Where does Kyle Shanahan go? Because that's what it struck me. I told you, Ole, I said I wanted to pick the 49ers. I wanted to, but I didn't have the heart to pick against Mahomes. And that was the difference, is Mahomes is the best player on the field. Kyle needs to have a guy that can be somewhere comparable. Nobody's 100% comparable to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but also,
who can go toe-to-toe, like Justin Herbert goes toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, he does.
Toe-to-toe every time. So you need somebody like that. And yeah. I don't know if Kirk Cousins is the answer. So maybe Lucian, they might be right. Maybe if he sticks to the run, maybe like Steve said, you get that first down, the game is over. Maybe it's Kyle getting his own way. That's what I'm trying to
figure out. That's about to say, too. That's what I'm saying. Like, Kyle had a, like, yeah, for instance, let's go, we can go this one. We can go 4 years ago. He had game managers. He had game managers, but he had game managers and he was up. And he was up and his team was dominant. His defense was balling, a unit that he doesn't coach. His defenses were balling and he gets in his own way. Ray, you said it, bruh. We don't have to go back. We want to go to his past. Let's go to his past. He was in Atlanta. They were up big.
And in the championship game the year before that, they were up big too.
Yeah. And he choked. Like, that was on Kyle. People watching the game were like, yo, Kyle, you going to run the ball? Like, all you got to do is run the ball. I don't know what you're doing. Run the ball. Like, what are you doing? Run the ball. Like, if you run the ball, the clock goes out. Brady doesn't have time to even do what he does. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost out there. Like, Kyle, this is what Kyle does. And it's not even a quarter because he had a good quarterback in Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was balling in that game, in the Super Bowl, early in that game. So I'm looking at him like, when I look at Kyle, it's more him. It ain't even a quarterback. Like, the last two Super Bowls he was in, it's not even a quarterback thing. I'm going to be real. That's a Kyle thing. It is Kyle using you said it earlier, used a great word. It's Kyle's ego that gets the best of him. Because if Kyle was watching that game saying, going into the team gets a stop, like they get a stop, the Chiefs don't score in the first drive. If Kyle looks at the game, observes the game and says, you know what? We're good. I can feature Christian McCaffrey. I don't think they stopping him for real. And we'll be okay. And I'm not saying that the plays Kyle designed weren't open, because obviously some of them were open and Purdy missed on some of them. But at the same time, you go to the dude who got you to the dance. The dude who got you to the dance wasn't Purdy. The dude who got you to the dance is Christian McCaffrey. When people look at the scout report, it's like, oh shoot, I gotta stop Christian McCaffrey and you can say Debo. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, I'm just like watching Super Bowl. My thought process was, you know, it was a great game. Both teams play hard. But at the end of the day, like, I'm like, I feel like Shannon had lost it rather than Mahomes taking it. I'm gonna be real.
Okay, and that's the poll you put out on X. Now, what's interesting is it may be a Detroit Pistons, Chicago Bulls situation where you got to hope the Chiefs don't make it, and then maybe you can get one. I think maybe, as long as he's going up against Andy Reid, I just don't feel like he's going to win that matchup. But I know we got to move on to Mahomes and the GOAT discussion. But it's something to think about, because we know the pass for Super Bowl isn't easy. You cannot count the Chiefs out. They proved that this year, even they weren't as strongest. But that division is getting a whole lot tougher, as you talked about last week. And I don't see Kansas City making it back to that game. But the NFC is right there for Kyle to get another crack at it next season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's there. It's there. I mean, it's Kansas City. I mean, the AFC is tougher than the NFC in terms of getting out of it. But the NFC is, you know, it's not as strong. Let's keep it a buck. It's not as strong. It is what it is. All right, so Ray mentioned Mahomes. Mahomes led the team. We talked about it. Mahomes led the team on the game winning drive in overtime with a touchdown pass to Nicole Hardman. He was the Super Bowl MVP. He finished the game throwing for 333 yards and two touchdowns. He now has three championships, and he's only 28 years old. Dude, do you see him eventually being the GOAT of this league, bro?
I mean, I shout out Big Doug. I'm going to shout out Lake Lewis, also a friend of the show. Lake Lewis had the perfect post on X after the game. He said he just grew a goat horn. Mm. He got one. And as he continues to ascend, he will eventually grow the other one. And I wholeheartedly believe that.
Yeah.
Because even with a receiving core, this is what Brady used to do. Brady would have Troy Brown as the top receiver, nice. Wes Welker, and the brother found a way to win. Mahomes had receivers dropping the ball all season. Mm-hmm. And yet this brother took that team and he gave the team the confidence that they needed. That's when you know you got the right guy. When a team can rally behind one dude and say, you know what, I believe in that dude, and I'm going to elevate myself to make sure I match that level. So I believe, yes, that this is the guy. Tom Brady put that out on X himself. He believes that Mahomes is that guy. We all agreed if he gets this one, then he's well on pace to become the greatest of all time in terms of the quarterback position. And he's doing it in Kansas City, which is remarkable to me.
Yeah, bro. I think he's definitely on GOAT level. It's coming. If you just keep it a buck, bro, like people have revisionist history. I mean, we're all in revisionist history, right? In terms of the mind of what you think. Like, we don't go back in the past and see how certain folks were viewed at a certain time. So you look at like Tom Brady. The first couple of championships, the first one for sure, Tom Brady was a game manager. The first one for sure. The second one, even the one when they beat the Titans, they won it, but that was a team effort. It wasn't like he went out and took it. That was a team effort. Like that was more of a game manager approach too as well. The one when it gets the Titans, that's the wrong one. I'm thinking about the Rams. His second Super Bowl when he beat because when Deion Branch was Super Bowl MVP. I'm trying to think about that game. I'm trying to figure out who he played with Deion Branch was Super Bowl MVP.
Chicago? No, it wasn't Chicago.
No, that's Peyton.
They lost it.
That's Peyton. It'll come to me later. But dude, the one Deion Branch was Super Bowl MVP. Like for the beginning portion of Brady, he was more of a manager. That's the point I'm trying to make anyway. He was a manager. Then, so you look at like Mahomes off the rip, he's not a manager. Like he is the reason. You know what I mean? Like he is the reason why this team is for these three have won championships. He's been Super Bowl MVP in all three of them. This is amazing. Like, so if he wins four more, three more, that's six. We could only imagine he'll be Super Bowl MVP and all six of his championships. Even if he wins five championships, just to let it be said that he's been Super Bowl MVP in five championships, and five of his championships, amazing. You know what I mean? Like, bro, like when you look at Mahomes, man, he's something we haven't seen in a while. He's to a point where he like the boogeyman. You know what I'm saying? For real talk, he's like the boogeyman. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the lead is. You already assume that they're down, he's going to make a run, and they're going to come back. And he's clutch. Oh, boy, clutch. He's a special quarterback. And it's wild. This is why the draft is such a crapshoot. If you had looked at the draft and said, who does this kid from Texas Tech is going to be the best quarterback in the NFL, you'd be lying. So, like, you said that, folks look at you like you dumb. You know what I'm saying? But for him to be, like, in that draft, and it's wild because I think John Gruden was in love with him in the draft because they did that, like, ESPN stuff where he used to break down quarterbacks. And he loved Mahomes. And just to see how that all panned out and see how, like, he is now and the best quarterback of our era, like in this era, in this group of quarterbacks, he's the best quarterback. Yeah, I think definitely GOAT status, hands down. It's coming. And I don't know where I would rank him now though. Like I'm thinking like, he's better than Peyton, I guess. Like, would you go that far, Ray? Better than Peyton?
That's an interesting question. I want to quickly go back to something that my man Devon Mason posted, POV. Shout out to him. It's been a while since we heard from you, bro. Happy New Year, all that good stuff. Thanks for checking us out tonight. I think one aspect of his career that's going to elevate him to GOAT status is eventually he's going to be on the field without Andy Reid. Andy Reid's not going to continue to coach for so much many years or whatever. If I'm saying that right.
Makes life easy too. Andy makes life easy. He does.
So when you get a new coach, will Patrick Mahomes still be that guy? And if he is, let's say the Kansas City Chiefs win another Super Bowl, another few Super Bowls, whatever, with a different head coach that's not Andy Reid, then that's what's going to really solidify him for me. Now, in terms of where he's ranking at right now, man, in terms of ability, what he's accomplished, his age, now without Tyreek Hill twice, I put him ahead of Montana. He's right. He's sitting right behind Brady. I put him right behind. I mean, Peyton, unfortunately, he had to go up against somebody's tougher, but Mahomes shuts everybody down. He beats Lamar. He beats Josh Allen. He beats all the competition versus Brady had some battles with Peyton. It was, you know, Peyton was like Agassi to his Sampras. You know what I'm saying? Agassi would get Sampras sometimes, but there's nobody who gets Mahomes really set for Burrow.
But Burrow gets him. Burrow gets him. Burrow be getting
Burrow gets him. Burrow does get him.
Nah, I'm going to hold you. I ain't going to hold you. Burrow be getting
So with that being said, I think he's number two.
All time. It's wild. I used to feel bad for Peyton because Peyton used to have to go against Bill Belichick's defense and Brady didn't have to go against Trey. You know what I mean? That's why I always tell folks, like, football is such a team oriented.
It's
such a team
game. I like that. I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Oh yeah. He's third all time as of now, in my opinion. What he's done by the age of 20 has only been done by Magic Johnson, the NBA, two MVPs. Oh, what did he say? Two MVPs and three Super Bowls. Exactly. That's my thing. Like, it's amazing. Like,
number three is amazing. That's amazing for his age. And I'm cool. Wherever you put him, he's top three already. Just think about that.
That's 28.
Insane. So, POV, who you putting ahead of him, bro? Who's number two then? You putting Montana ahead of him, I guess? That's my guess. It got to be Montana.
I think it's Montana.
It gotta be Montana.
I feel like Dan Marino don't get that much respect, but that's a whole different.
We got our Commanders folks checking out. I'm glad you referenced Magic Johnson because Magic Johnson, of course, he's part of the Commanders organization. And dude, look at our time. We got 2 minutes left for this segment. It's crazy. So quickly before we close, man. Hey, thanks for checking in. Stay with us to check out this interview coming up because I'm gonna go back to what Steve Fox said earlier. If I can get back. How about this coaching staff being put together by the Commanders right now? We're about to go there. Yeah. But Andy Reid, we mentioned him. The other storyline was Travis Kelce, of course, him and Swifty, but him getting bumped, bro, by Travis Kelce. Just you guys chime in. What did you think about that? Listen, I'm old school. You don't put your hands on me. I like Bobby Knight type players. Bobby Knight's going to choke him out if he does something like that. Andy Reid's not a position necessarily to be trying to hurt somebody, but you got to respect your coach. That's just disrespectful. And I wasn't a big fan of it, although I like Kelce. I felt like the moment kind of got to him. Now, he was a hothead. He's always been a hothead, but he's kind of chilled out since Andy Reid's been the coach. So I feel like, I don't know, man. I feel like it's just a circus, reality show type stuff.
She never put your hands on a coach. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to judge. I mean, I don't know their relationship. And maybe, you know, they're close that way. So I'm not sure. I mean, just to talk about in that realm, but I'm with you, Ray. She never touched a coach. The moment's so deep though, right? Like for real. Like it's a Super Bowl. He was frustrated. The tight end was playing. And that's when the back fumbled. And he felt like, yo, if I'm out there, you know what I'm saying? It's not a true run play. What I mean by that is like it's more deceiving. Like if I'm out there, a defense can't say it's a run. They're gonna think that maybe I'm out there on a passing down. When you put that tight end out there, you're already saying run. So he felt like, you know, he felt responsible for that. So I'm not responsible. He feels mad that he wasn't in the game because of that. So I just feel like, but he was frustrated. I think he only had like one catch at a time, too. That was in play. He wasn't really being utilized. At that particular point in time. So I think a lot of factors played in. But again, it's hard for me to – like, I don't – if Andy Reid ain't mad at it, then I ain't going to get mad at it because that's the most important thing to me is just how Andy Reid takes it. If Andy Reid takes his disrespect, then he going to have to do – he'll do – he probably have to deal with it behind the scenes, but I ain't going to, like, be like, oh – I'm not going to go overboard. I think a lot of people are like, oh, my God, listen. They try to use the race card. I was like, yo, it's not even a black or white thing. It's more – dude was like – he. It was in a moment. Dude was in a moment.
Yeah, go check out POV, his piece on Shadow League. Definitely. I want to get your perspective on it. And, that's a great discussion, too. We got so much to talk about. When we come back, I guess, on the other side of the interview, Bole, We still got to touch on Usher as well because he was a little handsy, just like.
We got one, man. We can do it real quick because Usher, you want to talk about? Yeah, so it's Valentine's Day, you know. Alicia Keys is a spokeful woman. Swiss Beats, that's Swiss Beats girl. But Usher Swiss on that halftime,
he's okay with it.
Swiss Beats, I know he's okay with it. I know he said he was okay with it. Usher, I mean, I love the performance. I thought the performance was dope. I always love seeing Alicia Keys. Everybody know I got a big crush on Alicia Keys. She looked thick too. She looked thick. I don't know. She looked good. She looked thicker. I love me some Alicia Keys. But back on, to get on the serious tip. Yeah, did you have an issue with how Usher was like all over, groping her? He wasn't groping her, but he was on her.
I mentioned this when I was talking about Travis Kelce. This is the day and age of reality TV. I feel like it was more so. Let's sell this because you know that was gonna be a discussion and they worked.
Yeah,
it was clickbait, and he went and got married afterwards.
I know
his longtime girlfriend.
Wow,
I just feel like again, it's kind of day we're living in where people want to create news, and that's what he did. It was newsworthy. It was more so about how close he was. Social media went off, and sure did, I feel like he accomplished his goal. I personally did not post about it. hey, POV, did you do an article about that, my guy? he had sports writers writing about this. And now with Shannon Sharp crossing over into the entertainment world with all his interviews, I think this is where we are. So he did his job, but didn't bother me at all. Alicia Keys did look healthier than usual. I guess he couldn't stop himself.
She did look.
POV, you bring up an important point. We in the DMV. His shows that's coming.
It's coming.
Here,
it's coming
to
city. Yeah.
He only had one show. Now he got an extra two and they all sold out.
Right. It's about to be over.
I got to give him credit as a businessman, but you already know. Usher, I got other thoughts about him, man. We have to do an After Dark show so I can share that. We'll let it go for now. But it's Valentine's Day. And thanks for joining us on V-Day, fam, for real.
Hey, yo. All right, man. Ray mentioned this, man. We have our interview about Ken Norton Jr. being hired for the Commanders as the Commanders linebackers coach. So just let's play that real quick. I'll talk about with the Commanders and their new linebackers coach. I see you have a podcast. Can you tell our listeners about your podcast as well?
Oh, absolutely. Love a little shameless plug. The Seahawks Man to Man podcast is the name of the show. It's me and my co-host, Christopher Kidd. We've been doing it for 7 years now, since 2017.
Right now, we have Seattle Seahawks writer for The Athletic and award-winning journalist Michael Dugard with us. Welcome, Mike, and what's up? It's the Urban Sports Scene, man. Glad you joined us. Like I said, it's Valentine's Day. I'm doing this for you, bro. You big time, man.
Hey, man, I just appreciate you guys having me. Thank you so much, man.
Hey, man, Mike, thanks for being on. We appreciate you and your time. But before we get into what we want to talk about with the Commanders and their new linebackers coach, I see you have a podcast. Can you tell our listeners about your podcast as well?
Oh, absolutely. Love a little shameless plug. The Seahawks Man to Man podcast is the name of the show. It's me and my co-host, Christopher Kidd. We've been doing it for 7 years now, since 2017. Seahawks Man, the number two man. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. The show is powered by Blue Wire Podcasts. You can find us on Blue Wire as well. We're on YouTube. The name of our channel is, you guessed it, Seahawks Man to Man, Man the number two man. Hit that subscribe, like button. Even if you listen to audio, just go hit the button anyway because it helps us out. So appreciate you guys letting me plug that.
Cool. No problem. And also, it's exciting times in Seattle. You know, you just have a young head coach in Mike McDonald. What's the vibe out there in Seattle about the new head coach?
Yeah, when you go from – it's not just that Mike's the youngest head coach in the NFL. He is – the youngest head coach in the NFL who was hired right after the oldest coach, you know, in the NFL. Right. So the juxtaposition there is pretty notable. And the reaction locally has reflected that. It's the feeling of newness, freshness, you know, all of these things that I just say Pete Carroll didn't feel like an old grouch, you know, like he was the scout team quarterback, you know, 72 years old. Right. So it's not that just he was like the old grouch in the corner. But when you replace him with a guy who doesn't even have no facial hair, I guess Pete really didn't either, but like when you replace him with a young looking cat like Mike McDonald, who showed up to, you know, his introductory press conference wearing J's and a hoodie and a blazer combo, like it just feels different, you know. Mm-hmm. it does, you get a different vibe. The OC, Ryan Grubb, I don't think he's ever coached the NFL before. You know, they poached him from the Washington Huskies, or I guess he was at Bama, but you could get the point. And then they pulled the defensive coordinator. I forget how to pronounce his name, but he was the D-line coach, the Dallas Cowboys, the British cat. So, and he's getting a promotion. So you have all these guys who are in these roles for the first time, all relatively young, facial hairless cats, you know, in these roles. So it's reflected in that. A lot of newness, a lot of new vibes, excitement, not full on. Like, some people are like, yo, this dude better win, too, you know, if we're going to fire Pete, you know, and replace his culture. Go ahead and, you know, you got to win right away. But, yeah, overall, I would say it's a lot of excitement with the newness of it, the new feel of having that different guy, you know, their version of, you know, DeMeco Ryans in Houston, or the defensive equivalent of hiring Sean McVay. Like, that's the expectation around here, is be that the new hotness, like that line in Men in Black when he was like, old busted joint. New hotness, you know, Mike McDonald, not to call Pete old and busted, but, you know, Mike McDonald is, in that analogy, the new hotness, right? So he's the Will Smith to the Tommy Lee Jones.
Hey, brother, appreciate that. So we're in the other Washington, D.C., the Commanders, they hired Ken Norton Jr., the former Seattle Seahawks defensive coordinator. He's a linebackers coach here in D.C. What can you tell our listeners about his coaching style?
He's one of those kind of old school, no nonsense guys. You know, he played the game, which is so huge. The more I've talked to players, it's cool. Maybe if your head coach didn't play, maybe even if your coordinator didn't play, but man, guys just respond so much differently to a position coach that played the game. Cause you understand all the little parts of it, not just the on-field stuff, but the personal stuff too, all the stuff they have to balance. Some of these coaches are a little older, so they don't get the social media component too that their players have to deal with. But even then, they got kids. Usually these position coaches do, at least the older ones. So they understand at least dealing with it through their kids' lenses. So they get it, you know. And Ken's been at the best of the best. He can show rings, you know. When he shows the film of the 90s Niners, like he's balling. And he can show that. He knows what excellence looks like. And then now he's at the point in his career where he can show, like, hey, you see this guy Bobby Wagner that keeps making all pros and Pro Bowls, and a guy like KJ Wright, who was going to be a Ring of Honor dude, Pro Bowler as well, played 11 years in the league. I mean, you see these guys, like, those are even the MVP of Super Bowl 48, Malcolm Smith, linebacker. So when you see these guys, these are Ken Norton products. These guys all swear by Ken. And so for these guys in Washington, not to say that they got a bunch of dudes who are questioned authority anyway, but they can't. You can't tell Ken he'll know what he's talking about. You know, you can have constructive criticism, because, you know, that's kind of the game go, because you are on the field at the end of the day. But big picture, Ken knows what he's talking about. He's been a championship player. He's been a championship coach, you know, so and he's molded some guys who have been championship players as well in his position group. And to hear guys like KJ swear by him, or even Malcolm, who I think Malcolm Smith was coached by Ken also at USC. So they go back even further. So to hear Malcolm swear by him, to hear Bobby swear by him, even a guy like Bruce Irvin, who's like more of an outside backer than an off-ball guy, but, you know, he swears by Ken as well. So when you got your guys who swear by you, you got the credentials, you just come in the building with a different feel. You know, you can contrast that to someone like Mike McDonald, who you read some older stories about him, and he kind of recalls being in there like, man, I don't have, you know, I stopped playing in basically high school, and here I am having to tell Terrell Suggs what to do, you know. And Ken Norton doesn't really have that issue. He come in there and tell all them guys what to do, you know, because he's done, and they can't really buck back, you know, unless he really screw up. So I think that's huge. That's a good starting point. It is, because when you're trying to establish a culture and a standard, you know, you got to have some credibility on your side. It's earned. It's not given. So Ken kind of walks in the building like, yo, I have earned my credibility. I've earned my stripes. I can make you guys better linebackers. I've got the proof. So listen to me, follow me, and I'll take you where you want to go.
It's wild, because I remember Ken Norton. He played for the Cowboys. I'm old now, Ray, because I remember he played for the Cowboys.
Yeah, he used to punch the goalposts, man.
I know, bro.
Listen, but these brothers here in Washington are different. Linebacker play has not been the strong franchise. So they need this, but they push back on my man EB. Eric Bieniemy, and Eric Bieniemy had the accolades and credentials himself, even though he won Super Bowls. So the culture here is jacked. Hopefully that'll change, and hopefully Ken Norton will bring something different to the table and more success to that linebacking core that has desperately needed it since I can't remember.
So true. So, I mean, you know, I mean, as DC in Seattle, he was fired in 2022. Like, why was he let go?
Yeah, it's a good, they underperformed. They underperformed for sure. Statistically, they had some games that they had some stretches that were really rough. Like the 2019 Seahawks, first half of the season were really rough. This was that was their first full season without any Legion of Boom members. Like in 2018, they had Earl for about four games till he broke his leg. But then the rest of the season was no Earl. And 2019 was fresh. No Earl, no Cam, no Sherm. It had Bobby and KJ, but like no back end guys. Mm-hmm. And it was rough. They had some games they get carved up. They got carved up in the playoff game they lost that year at Green Bay. And then in 2020, they just came out and they were awful. You know, the defense was so bad. Those guys were mad after wins. You know, I remember they beat the Cowboys in week three of the 2020 season. I want to say week three or four. It was a shootout. Seahawks won 38-31, I want to say. And, man, if you go – they're on YouTube. Go watch Shaquille Griffin's press conference from that game. Go watch Bobby Wagner's press conference. They were Zoom at that point because of COVID. But still, you could feel it. You could feel it. Like those guys were not happy. They gave up 30 ball. They only won because Russ was cooking that season. So there were some rough Ken Norton runs there. By 2021, that was the year they missed the playoffs. The defense also wasn't good. And – you could tell Pete was like, something's got to change. You know, I'm not going to fire myself. So let me go, you know, bring some different guys in on that side of the ball. He got rid of Ken, and I believe his DB coach, Andre Curtis, too, at that time. And, yeah, they just underperformed. You know, there was a standard in Seattle about how to play defense, how to rush the passer, you know, how to create turnovers in the secondary. And particularly in the passing game, it was a very frustrating time when Ken was the coordinator. They had a lot of games where they were giving up a ton of passing yards. I think in 2020 against Atlanta, Matt Ryan threw for like 400 yards. They won the game, but Matt Ryan threw for like 400 yards. And I want to say they had three different 100-yard receivers. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in a game before. It was like Julio, Ridley, and maybe Douglas, I think. It was just nuts. And then the next week on Sunday Night Football, Cam Newton threw for like 360. And Edelman went crazy. And then that Dak game happened. And that three-game stretch there was rough. And then even then, they got shellacked by Buffalo, gave up a 40 ball in week like 8 or 9 of that season on the road. There were just so many bad games in the passing game. And I note the passing game because, like, when you're – no one wants to be bad in either aspect, passing or running. Uh-huh. But it does feel like when you are a bad passing defense, it's demoralizing. Like, when guys are just bombing on you – that's rough. No one wants to get run on either, but like when you're getting bombed on, it's rough. And they eventually corrected that. And they got some things together, but yeah, ultimately they were statistically underwhelming. They were underperforming, at least by their own standard. You ask some guys around the team at the time, they're like, yo, our talent isn't that good. That's why we're not that good. Ultimately it's a result based business. And yeah, the run defense was really solid as last year. I think they were like behind the Saints in yards per carry allowed, like 3 points something. It was a really good number. But they limited explosives. They would just give up a lot of passing stuff. So, yeah, that's ultimately why they made that change after the 2021 season.
Oh, it fit in right here. Washington gets a bunch of explosive plays and passing yards all the time.
Yes, he could coach some backers, though. That's the
thing.
Is Cody Barton still under contract?
I can't remember. No, he's a free agent.
Free agent.
He was horrible over here, though. He was horrible over here.
Yeah,
he was good over there. He was good over there.
He was fine. He wasn't bad here. He was just kind of scapegoated a little bit. And early on, he had some really bad run fits that were just so glaring. And the run defense was really bad at the time.
That's the same thing.
And it didn't really help. You know, run fits are not something the basic fan understands. And this is very subtle, but I think it mattered in the grand scheme of how he was perceived. So KJ Wright in 2022 started doing a weekly radio show on the flagship station. And, you know, so that's the position KJ knows the best. And that's the position that was struggling at the time, particularly earlier in the season. So now we get all of these nuanced breakdowns as to why Cody's not performing or why Jordan Brooks wasn't performing. Whereas otherwise, we wouldn't get that. Radio hosts can just call a guy out. True. But like KJ could be like, okay, yeah, no, not only are they playing bad, here's why. Here's what they're not doing, you know. So it can alter perception in that way if you got this guy every time you guys give up 150 yards rushing on Wednesdays at 8, he's breaking down why. You know, that's that just kind of hurts your perception for better or worse. You know, it's not really KJ's fault. Play better, you know. And he'll big you up, which he did later. So, yeah, he was okay. He was okay here. But I bring him up because he would be someone to attest to Norton's coaching style, you know, his credentials as an LB's coach. It's way different being a position coach than it is being a coordinator. You can really hyper-focus on the details. Like, for example, KJ loves telling this story. I think it was KJ's rookie year in 2011. KJ, he had really long legs, you know. He kind of like called him like Bambi because he was just like – he's so tall for a linebacker. He's like 6'2" or something like that. So and he had a problem keep staying square to the line of scrimmage without crossing his feet, which is a big no-no for Ken. Uh-huh. So what Ken would do is have him come to the facility like every day, like 6 a.m., put bands on his ankles, and then like set up trash cans in the indoor facility and have him like make sure he couldn't cross his legs, like you have to shuffle without that. And that was as a rookie, you know, and that helped KJ be a better linebacker. He would actually wear the bands during practice too. Super embarrassing. Particularly for a rookie. But that's the type of detail you can afford. You have the time to do that when you're a position coach. Mm. You don't really have the time to do that as a coordinator or a head coach. You got so much other stuff to worry about. But you can take that time to really teach guys how to play the position. And again, when you tell your players to Google you and they see you winning championships, you know, that helps, you know, as well.
True, true. Hey, Ray, you had another question. You had a question for him, right?
Yeah, man. This is a Washington question too. So when DQ was named coach of the Commanders, a lot of Commanders media reached out to Seattle media like, hold up, the Seahawks had an opening and they didn't bring DQ back. So why in the world should the Commanders hire him? So the answer we got was, well, the Seahawks want to move on from Pete Carroll completely. So bringing back somebody from the past is going to keep kind of that Pete Carroll style going. But as last time I checked, Pete Carroll is still in the building there. He's not the coach, but he's still in the organization. So in your eyes, why wasn't Dan Quinn made the head coach of the Seahawks considering he had success there years ago?
Yeah, I think this, I haven't like talked to John Snyder personally, right? So I'm projecting here a little bit, but I do think he was trying to strike a balance between maintaining the culture that Pete played a huge role in creating, mm-hmm. while also pivoting to something new. I really don't think they're going to be able to do that. That's like my prediction. I think you're just going to have to let Mike McDonald set his culture. You can't try to hang on to the Pete stuff, even if it worked. When you fire Pete, you fired everything. You know, you can keep like the kitchen dude, Stu, and Mo Kelly, who's the VP of player affairs, and EK, who's their equipment manager. You can keep some of those guys around because those guys actually, I think, precede Pete. Mm. So you keep those guys. But in general, from my opinion, you fire Pete, you fire Pete. Like, you know, like the basketball in the meeting room, the rap music playing at practice, like Mike can keep some of that stuff if that's naturally him. But if he's keeping it in the name of preserving any part of Pete, don't do that. That's dumb. You should just be you in your own culture. So I think that was the vision, was keep the culture, but find some newness. And like you guys are saying, if you keep DQ, if you hire DQ, it feels like you're just keeping the culture and not really pivoting to something new. Whereas Mike McDonald is fresh in that regard. But I think my prediction is over time, they're going to be like, we really need to just wash ourselves of Pete. We're going to have to let Mike not just live in this guy's shadow. He needs to be his own guy, his coach his own way, do his own thing, hire his own dudes, yada, yada, yada. So I think that was a big driving factor, is like getting something new. Really, that's it. And that's really, honestly, most of the main argument you can make for firing Pete is that you just want something new.
Yeah.
Because you look at guys like Vrabel and Belichick and Pete, who all hit the market at the same time. It's not like they forgot how to coach, right? You don't fire Bill Belichick like, man, duh, you don't got it no more. No, man. What he has, you don't lose. Same thing with Pete, and same thing with Vrabel, even though he's not a Super Bowl winning head coach. You know, and it'll be the same thing whenever the Steelers move on from Tomlin. It'll be the same thing whenever the Ravens move on from Harbaugh. It won't be because those dudes forgot how to coach ball. It'll be because you just want something new. Which, when you're the owner, you can do that. You know, so I think that the desire for newness, the more driving factor. And Mike McDonald was a hot kind of candidate too. Right? A lot of teams wanted him. I know the Commanders did as well. So like that was part of it. Getting the guy who was the basically the defensive Sean McVay at his cycle, you know, was pretty big for them.
All right, you cleared it up. Washington fans, you heard it. It's no knock on DQ. We're just trying to move on from Pete. So there we go.
I'm a fan of hiring DQ depending on what your expectations are as a franchise, you know, because DQ's done it. He's been a head coach. And I don't care how hot shot you are of a candidate. There's nothing replaces experience. You know, DQ's going to know. And there's so much little stuff that comes up as a head coach that sometimes the coordinators don't even know that the head coach has to deal with, you know, just stuff from little tiny things about, like, you know, which choosing which day to do family day during training camp, or who gets allowed in the building, or how you're going to do guests or guest speakers, or what hotel you stay at on the road. Like, you got to just decide on so much little stuff, you know, who does the speeches pregame, like all the things that the coach has to deal with that is routine versus stuff that just comes up. You know, you get a call 3 a.m. like, yo, the local police chief just called. Our starting corner was hammered at this bar. They didn't want to arrest him. They wanted to call us. What do you want to do? You know, just little stuff like that you have to problem solve for the entire organization on top of being this mastermind schematically and on top of being the face in the media as well. DQ's done all of that. He's handled all of the situations, you know, that come up, whether something political comes up. You know, these coaches are all these new coaches. They're going to be new coaches in an election year. You know, and that it seems small, but no, that matters. You know, being a head coach in 2020 wasn't just about coaching ball. It was about managing COVID and a health crisis on top of an election year. You know, and that matters in this culture. So when you're the head coach, you got to worry about that. When you're the position coach at DC, you can probably just sit in your room and draw up blitzes. But no, when you're the front man, it's different. So because DQ's done all that, handled all that, I think I was a big fan of any team hired him. Same with Raheem Morris in Atlanta. When you've done that stuff and you've handled that situation, you've gone against that coordinator, you've faced that deficit before, you've been in that overtime situation, that fourth down situation, that goal line situation, you can, you know. So there's something to be said for that. Not to say that a new coach can't do those things, but it's a hell of a lot easier when you've experienced it already, and there's so much trial and error in being a head coach. So. Yeah, I think that's going to serve DQ well. You know, there'll be some stuff that he screwed up in Atlanta, you know, that he's going to be like, I'm not going to do that again. Nope. Whereas some of these new coaches and be like, dang, I thought I handled that really well. Looking back, I screwed that up. And that's just kind of life in general. So, yeah, I think DQ is going to he has a chance to hit the ground running in that regard, because he just knows how. He knows how to coordinate a practice, how to handle all this. He has experience hiring guys. So I'm a big fan of the hire.
Thank you. And I like the perspective on, like, older coaches. I know a lot of people are a little negative, like, on, like, the coaches who've done it in the past. Like, you said, Bill Belichick didn't figure how to coach. Pete Carroll didn't figure how to coach. You know what I mean? I mean, guys like that, I'm like, dude has, like, more championships than you would even think of. These dudes have more championships than you can think of. And we're acting like they can't coach at all. And I'm like, nah, I don't like that perspective. Like, I don't like anybody who says, man, I don't want no Bill Belichick. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, your team ain't winning. And how long? How can you say that? Like, off the rip. Like, how can you say that? Like, don't be dismissive of it. Like, that rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. Belichick's problem is he should not get to touch personnel at all.
Agreed.
But I also can see why he wants to touch it. You know, I can see why at his age, you're like, you know, I'd rather just control that if I can. Mm-hmm. And the other team's being like, well, you can't, so we're not going to hire you. That's perfectly fair on both sides. But I also think guys should get a second shot at head coach, unless you were just like, unless the players didn't like you, then I don't think you should get a shot, because that's probably just your personality. But if you just had a bad losing streak, or you didn't get a quarterback that first time around, you know, so I feel like some guys should definitely get a second shot, you know. Like if in New York, if that Jets thing doesn't work out, and if Salah in like 4 or 5 years, something like that, coordinates another defense and then wants to get another shot somewhere, that other team should be like, yeah, we're not going to hold the Jets situation. You know, that's not all he is. You know, he's more than that. So yeah, I think guys should generally get a second shot unless you're Urban Meyer.
So definitely never in life.
He should
never in life. No way.
That Jacksonville thing is bad enough.
No. I'll say this before I let you go. Just one last thing, because folks know who listen to the show. I'm a Geno Smith dude. Like, I like Geno. Like, what is his state? What is his status over there in Seattle? Like, what is his status? Is he going to be the starter next year, or is it like a quarterback controversy? Or are they going to try to replace him? I need to know what's going on with Geno.
I don't know what they're gonna do. Full disclosure, I'm currently actually on paternity leave, so I'm not like totally tapped in and like in my reporting bag right now, because I'm just, you know, doing that stuff. But personally, I would keep Geno, because I really don't. The film don't lie. Like, you can, we're in a kind of an era where if you scroll to Twitter long enough, you'll see someone post a graphic or a chart or something that either makes you angry or fits your agenda perfectly. Yes. You know, or you can do that. You can turn on the TV. I got FS1 on in the background right now. They could put up a graphic that says Brock Purdy sucks. They could put up a graphic that says Brock Purdy's the best ever and find numbers and whatever to justify it. And clips too. But film itself does not lie. It don't. Eye in the sky don't lie. And when you watch Geno, you can see this is a guy who knows what he's doing. You know, this is a guy who in the NFC in particular can play at the level that these other guys are playing at if you give them the other things that they have, right? Like I don't think actually Brock or Jalen Hurts, the last two guys to represent the NFC of the championship, are better passers than Geno. I don't. I think he's just as good passer as those guys. As a passer, you give him those O-lines or those OCs, the weapons are comparable. I think Geno's weapons have been good, but you give him those OCs, he'd be just fine. Like I don't think Geno can't do what Jordan Love just did in the playoffs or what Jared Goff just did in the playoffs. He can do all that. But you look at the situations those guys are in, they're better. Better mostly from an O-line standpoint and a scheme standpoint, which is why the Seahawks are probably going to change their O-line this offseason. And they've already fired their OC, right? Like, or not fired. They let him go to the Bears. Yeah. But, yeah, so, yeah, you give Geno that. He's definitely a guy who just needs a high level of support. You know, and most quarterbacks do. Ain't nobody really a superhero except for Cam Newton in 2015. But yeah, Geno needs some support. And if you give it to him, we've seen he can ball. He can do it. So he's a little polarizing in Seattle. Some people they see him. They think he turns 34 in November. So they're like, let's get this a young cat in there. But players love Geno. He's one of the guys. It's kind of rare that your quarterback is like one of the guys because it's such like a CEO type of position. Mm-hmm. But he's one of the dudes, you know, hang out with guys in the offseason and go to a game with them, go to the club with them or whatever, you know, come to their camps, have throwing sessions in Miami. Like he's one of the dudes. And then he goes out and he plays ball. He holds himself accountable to a high standard. He's really good in the media, which is important. You can't get up there and say what other guys did wrong. You got to go up there. Geno goes up there every game and says, I got to play better. That's on me. I know for a fact the other guys have messed up, and I've known that because behind the scenes, and I've seen Geno go up there and say it was on him, knowing that the other guy messed up. That means everything in the locker room, you know? Like, you go up there and say, I messed up. Knowing damn well you didn't, but you're turning. You have to. Yeah. You can't get up on TV and be like, yeah, nah, bro, ran the wrong route. No. That's how you get shipped off. Guys won't rock with you. So yeah, I think he's got the locker room, got the film, you know, so I think a lot of personally would roll with him. But you never know. John Snyder has only drafted two quarterbacks ever, Russell Wilson and Alex Magoo. And that's in like 14 drafts, two quarterbacks. So maybe he's itching to take another guy. I know he would like to. I don't know if that means replacing Geno, but yeah, in my opinion, Geno should be the guy for at least 2024. Maybe 2025 is as well before you really being like, all right, we gotta do something different.
It's good to hear, man. I'm glad somebody else likes Geno. You know what I mean? I'm on X and everybody trying to get me for Geno. And I've been like, nah, but Geno that dude.
You can't argue with results, man. You can't argue with how a guy's teammates feel about him and what the film says. You can have you know, those two things, if you base your opinion on those two things, it's like honestly, it's not even an opinion at that point. You know, it's those two things are inarguable, you know.
No, I'm with you. Totally with you. So before we let you go, how can folks catch your content and also catch you on social media?
Follow me at Mike Dugar on Twitter or X, whatever. at Mike Dugar, MikeDugar. It's on the screen as well. Everything is pretty much there. The newest episode of my podcast is always pinned to the top of my page. My author page at The Athletic is in my bio. That's the link that's in there. So if you want to, hey, what's this guy write? Boom, click that. It's all right there. And then any reporting I do just on X or Twitter or whatever is all on my page, obviously, too. So my Twitter's a one-stop shop. Hit that button on there and come along for the ride.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate you being on, man. Really do, man.
Appreciate
you.
You really got that
Valentine's Day thing.
Hey, look, my man got a new edition. Congratulations, man. Go make another one.
Oh, hey, Ray. Ray, you be going. It's love day,
bro. What we doing, it man. Is. It is love day. It is.
All right, Mike. Thanks again, man.
All right, man. You guys have a good one.
Have a good one. Yeah. So y'all got the gist of it, though. Y'all got the gist of it. It was good, though. It was good talking to Mike. But let's get into our next segment, though. Northern Virginia wanted the excuse me, Northern Virginia, one of the commanders. And it looked like, you know, they were getting the Wizards, but that may not be the case. VA Democratic Senator L. Luis Lucas on Monday said that proposed legislation, excuse me, I can't speak today. Legislation. It's been a long night, Ray. to help pave the way for the Washington Wizards and the Capitals to relocate to Northern Virginia is dead as far as she's concerned. Do you believe her, Ray?
No, not at all. I think it's all about money, and I have sources that are saying that.
You got sources?
I do have sources. The deal is still going to get done.
Legislation.
Everybody wants to have their hands in the pot. I do believe this gave a glimmer of hope for those who do not want to see Ted move Monumental Sports basically to Virginia. But it's happening, and this is a bump in the road, but it's political. We already know. It's just like in politics. We always see.
Why are you so definite? It's happening.
We always see elected officials have 24 hours to get a government shutdown bill passed. And everybody's like, oh, it's going to happen. And
oh my
right
God.
At the last minute, it comes together. This is still going to come together. Do not be shocked. There's too much money to be made. Glenn Youngkin, of course, he's a Republican governor, and he's gonna get some pushback in terms of money and some other things, but it's coming together. I'm telling you.
I'm going to need you to – that part about the government shutdown, I had a stressful situation with that one year, and they did shut down, and I did not get paid for a while. So sometimes they do – I mean, I'm with you. It is a political ploy, but sometimes them dudes go a little ham and –
That's a different situation. I'm just comparing how there's always political posturing, and she used the media to definitely get her point across as to what the Democrats are asking for out there. But it's happening, my guy. It's happening. Like I said on X, leave the mystics and go alone.
I saw you. I saw it.
And I'll help you move.
I saw it. So quick. Do you think that I mean right now in terms of, I don't know what your belief was initially. But has all this changed your mind in terms of where you want the Wizards to play? I mean, I already know the Capitals are going. I mean, Capitals can go to Northern Virginia, all I care, to be honest with you. They can go to Northern Virginia. But the Wizards, do you have, like, has anything changed your mind of a preference? Do you want them in the city or you want them to stay to go to be in Northern Virginia?
Well, the belief is it's going to take 5 years for Winger and company to rebuild this roster and turn this franchise into a winner. So if that's the case. It doesn't matter where they play, but
you said you just want to win. I heard you.
If you're not winning, but you have a nice new building to come and check out, a complex, you can go shopping. You can have some experiences for the kids, for the family. I'm going to go to Virginia. I'm going to cross the bridge. If I go to MGM and I'm just crossing past there, it's no big change for me. So absolutely, especially if they're not winning. A nice building will make all the difference in terms of getting casual fans and those who don't care, but they want to check out this brand new complex, which is supposed to be amazing. You saw the blueprints, my brother? Come on now. My opinion was always like that.
They
got to win.
They're not going. No, look, one, same people going who are coming to or attending games at Capital One are not attending some of the games in Northern Virginia. It's cue the buck.
Big deal.
They're not. So
they say that now.
They're not. They're not gonna
you
get.
You on the ground next time? Go take your camera, take your mic, and just walk around. Go to the concession.
I have. Hey, I walked around. I mean, ask them.
I need a paper trail, dude. You can tell me you did. You can tell me you ate donuts, but I don't believe you. So I want you to go and talk to people. Hey,
I ate donuts.
I want you to do like an investigative reporting thing that you're gonna see on like WSA 9 or something, you know, but put the Wole flavor on it, put the Urban Sports Team flair on it. I don't care about what you tell me you've done. Make a YouTube short, Wole. You do that all the time. And fans say, no, we're not going. I want to see it. And be real. I want you to put both.
I like that idea. I kind of like that.
And don't interview one demographic. I want you to interview all race and color.
Wow. I mean, I want to interview the people I know.
I know what you would be selective. You don't go to Go-Go Mickey Lane, man. You're going to, nah, man. You know what I'm saying, bro? Nah, bro. Talk to everybody.
That's the heart of the city, though. Right? Isn't it the city? It's the city's team.
No, not really.
Them folks weren't coming to the cap. They weren't coming to the Capitol Center back in the day. Were they?
Nobody was.
Yeah, no, but the people from the city were and the people from PG County, and you know what I'm talking about. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that with you. Look, brother, man.
I'm telling you.
Don't do that. That's like the Warriors moving from the complex.
Even if you lose the people, you're going to gain a new
contender. That's like the Warriors moving from Oakland to San Francisco.
It's worked out just fine, but
they ain't like it. Them players had the same issue. The players had issues with that. They just play ball.
There was a concern that RFK closing down and the Skins moving to Maryland was going to be a problem. When they were winning and they were competing in the playoffs, Brad Johnson beating up on Detroit, it was a packed house, my guy.
It's a problem now, though.
It ain't been the same. But when RG3 was winning,
I was dope. That was lightning.
They came to Maryland. Didn't matter. Yeah. So trust me, folks would come to
Virginia. All right,
if you have a star,
dude. Now we're doing okay. All right, let's be real. RFK to PG County ain't that far. We're not doing that though.
Capital One and the Northern VA ain't that far.
How far? It's far from the. How far? It's far. It's further than the.
It's about 6 miles.
Traffic to the city. Don't count the city different. They don't, like to get to Northern VA. What part of Northern VA? It's what part of Northern VA?
Alexandria is right across the bridge.
Yeah, nobody want to drive.
Whatever it is. Alexandria, all right. Springfield is
look,
right
man. There. It's a lot of like, and you know the cop situation too. It's a whole different situation. for folks in basketball games, you know they get hammered, dog. Don't do that. You know they get hammered. They're going to drive on the Virginia state line. Them dudes in trouble.
When you used to go to Chima, you would go to Tyson's, right? For Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So if you're motivated, you're going to go to Virginia. That
facts. Close. But they're not feeding me like that.
Yeah, right. Not that far, bro.
Stop. They're not feeding me that
the
way.
The move is happening.
I like how you did that.
Pasha will start. So it's happening. It's coming. And it's okay. It's okay. Ted, I just want him to be committed to winning. I could care less with a team play. If they're playing the Capital One and they're putting out a winner, I'm like, cool. It's just my concern is you did open up the Complex Entertainment Sports Arena in Southeast for a reason, and you did it not for political reasons, according to yourself. I did it because I care about the community. Now, if you really care,
that's a lie.
I'm just saying, leave those teams where they are, because it won't make sense. The Mystics, when they played at Capital One, it was awful. It was so much space in the arena because there weren't many fans. Now, when you change arenas, you saw that building filled up. It was like a Cameron Indoor type of thing. You know, Cameron is bigger than the Entertainment Sports Arena.
Yeah.
There's so much more for that Entertainment and Sports Arena to offer. I think Ted needs to leave that. But that has nothing to do with the Wizards and Capitals, though, honestly. Yeah. Although Miami Sports is one entity. And these organizations fall under that entity, so I'm interested in what he's going to do. I don't know if he's addressed it. Maybe somebody can watch this and tell me, because I haven't paid enough attention to see if he's referenced the Mystics or the Cavs. But from what I read, it was every team was going to go, and maybe there's going to be a smaller complex within that where they play. I don't know, but if you have a big arena like that, I don't think you should play there. Or the Go-Go, the Go-Go could play at a high school and fill it up, maybe. But
I think the Mystics and the Go-Go are going to stay. From what I heard, I think they're going to stay.
Oh, okay.
I think they're going
to
stay.
Yeah, I mean, we should be cool with it, brother. We'll make it out there. Trust me.
Yeah, I'm a little against it. But I have my own reasons. I have my own personal reasons, though.
For the culture and for yourself, I get
I'm totally selfish. Like I like my commute to Capital One. It's easy for me. It's an easy commute.
We're going to do this live.
It's easy.
You got your phone, right? Show the people your iPhone. Put in your GPS now. Just put Springfield Mall to your GPS.
And then put
Capital One Arena.
All right, we'll do that right now. That's fair. Let's do this live. I like that. I like that.
So if it's
Springfield, Springfield Mall right now.
It's probably not going to be that far, but let's do Springfield Mall. Let's see how long it's going to take to get to your house right now.
Mall. You do Tyson's? Because Tyson would be like.
No. Tyson's is further. It ain't going to be that far.
All right, 21 miles. Springfield Mall.
Okay, so how long? How long is the minutes?
All right, let's see. I don't know. That's a good question. How long is it? 33 minutes. 33 minutes.
Okay, so 33 minutes potentially to a new stadium, which won't be that far. So about a half hour.
So I'll go Capital One.
Maybe a little closer, which it should be. But it ain't going to be a significant
23 minutes.
Okay, so 10-minute difference.
Yes, and 9.5 miles, and that's the city. It's 9.5 miles away.
Big deal.
Because it's the city. 5.9 exactly. And I can still get through, and it's like dark outside. If it was rush hour, I could still get through where I'm at and get to Capital One.
Dude, Janae, where the heck do you live, bro?
Jesus Christ.
Dude, Janae lives in Alaska.
All right.
So where are you? You in like Richmond somewhere?
Yeah, probably Richmond area. I think Richmond area. Yeah, I think Richmond area. I believe the Richmond area, I believe.
I hope you're in Norfolk. Hey, Dujane, we're going to be in Norfolk next month, man. Come eat some wings.
Yeah, bro. We are, man. We're going to be in Norfolk. Eat some wings. I'm trying to get like
vegan wings. Whatever.
Vegan. That's cold. Vegan. I'm trying to get ready.
It's not going to be a big difference, bro. Like, let it go. It's happening.
It's a big difference.
Georgia. Man. Oh, okay. Out there in Cody Rhodes. That's Cody Rhodes territory. I get it.
Don't do that. He's like AEW.
Adrenaline. Hey. I gotta check this poll that we put on X real quick to see what the results are. Oh, you got it. Okay.
Yeah, I won. 67%
said what?
DC.
30%. They still won DC? Yeah, he said yes, 30%. Sir.
You know what I'm saying? Oh
yeah, we know Dujane. We follow you, bro. Come on.
You haven't thought you like AEW, Dujane? I thought you was down with the AEW.
He likes WWE as well, bro.
I know he does. I know he does. Dujane does. I know he does.
There's no comparison right now, man. AEW is like the UFL and
facts.
And WWE is the NFL. Period.
That's facts. Anyway. That's the truth, bro. That's the truth, though. Yeah. He like both, though. I got you.
Cody Rhodes finishing his story. By the way, we got to talk a little wrestling one day. Dujane, that's the perfect segment to bring you on.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk wrestling one day.
Let's do this, because I think Mercedes made the wrong choice, bro.
I do too.
Like, come on, bro. She won't be the star of the show, but
come on now. Come on. I'm with you, right? I'm with you.
And you see the chicks in NXT? Now that's different though.
Bruh.
Forgive me. Jesus, listen, Jesus. Let's move on.
We're gonna close the show out. We're gonna end on that note, dog.
Let's do that show. We'll do our special. We can get Brian Waters to come back for that one.
Hell yeah, I think we could do that. I think we can do a
round table.
Yeah, we can do another round table.
but yes, the DMV, that's what we always talk about. DMV sports show. We're a DMV sports show. Virginians, that V won't lay accepted. Hey, appreciate y'all checking out.
I like Tyson's though, man. I like Tyson's. Shima, I'll be back.
Yeah, you used to ride out there for the Alice in Wonderland, what'd you call it? IMAX theater thing.
I did that joint too.
If you rode the Hoffman Center for that,
I've done the movie theaters out there. I've done
Potomac
enough.
Yards, you got.
I've been there. You got the airport, both
major airports are in Virginia.
Yeah, I've been in Dallas. Are you right? I've been in Dallas.
We rode to training camp all the way to Ashburn.
That was a headache.
Okay, that's a headache. We're not riding to Potomac Mills or Ashburn. We're riding to Alexandria Springfield area.
Bro, that was a headache.
Stop it.
Oh.
I like the culture DC, I do, but it's not, you know, it'll be fine. And it'll be Metro accessible. Guys,
it'd be real fans. All I'm going to say is real Washington Wizards fans are in DC.
Oh,
Cavs fans are.
I'm a real fan, but I could still ride.
You ain't going no for free Virginia.
Why not? I mean, I'm different though. You know, I'm media, so I have my reasons.
I have my reasons too. I like being around. That's why I want them around. I just told you they're like 9.5 miles away from me. No,
It depends on where you're going, Dujane and Wole. It depends on where you're headed, if it's a headache or not. Virginia probably out of the DMV is probably the worst drivers and the worst traffic. I would agree with that. But on a bad day in the city, you know, Wole, you live in the Bethesda area. It's annoying as out there as
Bethesda,
well.
That's a whole different beast.
That's close to the city. You know,
that's Maryland. That's like Maryland. Studio. Friendship. Oh, Julio's, that's like Friendship Heights. I said that Friendship Heights. Yeah,
man. Listen, the DMV traffic can be annoying. It's nothing like New York City, though. We'll be fine. Trust me.
Yeah, we're fine. We'll live. All right, man. Hey, this has been a great show. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio. Yes, it. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. You can check out The Urban Sports Scene at Empire Media, at empiremedia.com. That is the home of The Urban Sports Scene. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows, as well as other great content. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Appreciate the homie Mike for coming on the show. He's like new to The Urban Sports Scene. It was cool. You know what I'm saying? So we got a lot of insight about the Seattle, about Ken Norton Jr. in Seattle, and also some insight about Seattle, to be honest with you, and Dan Quinn too. And like Ray said, Dan Quinn was not like leftovers. Like, it wasn't that they didn't want Dan Quinn. It was just that, like Ray said, you know, it was more about they just try to start fresh. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, there's nothing wrong with Dan Quinn for Washington fans. We're okay. We'll be okay. We will live. We shall overcome. Right, Ray?
Hey, tune in next week. I don't even know what the topic is going to be next week. Let's see what happens.
I don't know. Maybe
for some guests to come on. We're talking free agency, draft. It's a lot still to discuss when it comes to the Commanders. The Wizards, come on now. They play for the number one pick.
All-star game, right?
On a year All-star. Where Wimby's not in the draft. Who's the number one pick consensus that's coming? It ain't one for real. Come on, Ted. Do better, man.
Do better,
the
bro.
The new stadium can help, but it's not going. If you like basketball, you can't do that. Anyway, DMV, anyway, we're going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
Facts. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For Aegis, Yiddig, deuces, we out.